Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From the Evening Standard in London, I'm Mark Blunden, and this is The Leader. Are you among the legions of employees who've spent the pandemic year wedged in a spare bedroom or camped out at the kitchen table? The Office for National Statistics kicks off this working week with research showing that nearly half of London's employees have been WFH since COVID struck. That's far more people avoiding the office commute than anywhere else in the United Kingdom. The Standard's consumer business editor, Jonathan Prynne, has been covering this story in Monday's paper and online. Jonathan, what's the significance of the report and what are your takeaways?
One of the key findings that I thought was very interesting was that whereas working from home tended to be associated with people on slightly lower wages before the pandemic, since the pandemic started, that's flipped right round, and the people working from home are now likely to be on above average wages. And I guess what that reflects is that some of the very highest paid groups of workers in very well remunerated industries such as tech, finance and the city, advertising and some of those professional industries that are very, very closely associated with London in particular, they're the ones that almost went, you know, biggest, they're converted the quickest and the most sort of wholeheartedly to working from home. So particularly the city, where financial workers who would have slogged into offices in the Square Mile or Canary Wharf 5 days a week are now working from their kitchen tables or their studies, or on days like this, maybe from their terraces 5 days a week. So, and of course, they are highly paid workers. So the status of people who work from home in terms of reward has changed dramatically. I thought that was interesting.
What about how people work? Has that changed too?
The ONS have done some very detailed analysis of the working day for people who work from home. And what it shows is that initially, back in April, people generally stuck more to their sort of work pattern of their office working day, maybe a little bit later to start, but not hugely. That has drifted further back into the day as the year has gone on. So by September, the average start time had drifted out to 10:45, compared, you know, an hour later than they'd be starting in the office on average. But also, equally, at the other end of the day, their working day has drifted out into the evening in a way that perhaps those of us who have worked from home recognize that if you're working from the office, there is a natural cutoff point when you leave the office and you board your train or your underground or your tube, whatever, to go home. That is a natural cutoff point. When you're working from home, you don't have that natural cutoff point, and it's very easy just to sort of drift on an extra hour or 2 hours or whatever into the evening, finishing stuff off or getting things ready for the next day. So I thought that was very interesting. That sort of chimed with the experience I've heard with a lot of people who work from home, that actually the difficult thing is just putting your computer down and calling it a day.
But have our working habits changed for good, or will it be back to normal by Christmas?
I do think the appetite for people to go back to the office 5 days a week has gone forever, particularly maybe for people who've got longer and more stressful commutes. I just can't see that happening. I think employers will recognise that, and there are some benefits for employers as well. They can reconfigure their office space more cheaply or more efficiently in town.
Right. And what about the fate of London's food and drink sector? All those sandwich shops and independent cafes that rely on commuters popping in en route to the office.
I don't think there is a lot of good news, I'm afraid, for the sorts of businesses you're talking about, because, for two reasons. One is that when the commuters do go back, as I mentioned previously, I think it's unlikely that they're going to go back 100% in the way that they came in every single day, most of them, before the pandemic. I mean, as I said, I think it's more likely they'll be coming in 3-4 days a week. So that's immediately maybe 20 to 30%, maybe more of their sort of commuter business taken away. Of course, the other section of their business, the foreign tourists, who knows when they'll be coming back? And they also are massive spenders in central London on coffee shops, sandwich shops, hotels, bars, restaurants. And at the moment, London is obviously an island that is not allowing foreign tourists into the country in any sort of numbers whatsoever.
I see. And of course, there's the issue of companies with those multi-million pound leases on skyscrapers burning holes in their pockets in places like Canary Wharf.
Yeah, I think Canary Wharf is a very interesting kind of case study because it is an absolutely vast, predominantly office-based development that relies on highly paid people, sort of, you know, like the tide, washing in every morning and washing out again every evening. And as I understand it, levels of occupancy in Canary Wharf over the last year have been down, you know, 80-90%. And how quickly that comes back in an environment that is overwhelmingly office-based still, although they are trying to reinvent themselves as much more of a residential retail destination. But that's going to take time. So I think the future for Canary Wharf are those huge lift-based blocks as well, where, you know, social distancing is a disaster because obviously you can only transport a certain number of people at a time. Until we get the full removal of social distancing, that I think, you know, Canary Wharf is really going to find it hard going. And you would hope that their pivot to sort of residential will help that. But I think it's going to be tough in the short term.
That's really interesting. And your other big story on Monday is the post-lockdown money starting to trickle back into London's retail and hospitality sectors. Hopefully this means after-work pints on the pavement soonish.
I'm very much looking forward to my first after-work pint with my colleagues, Mark, including you. So I think those rituals that we sort of took for granted but now miss very, very much are getting close again.
Let's hope so. But of course, there are many, many Londoners who haven't been able to work from home over the pandemic. Do the ONS figures provide any insight on their working patterns?
That's a very good question. In fact, it doesn't. This study only looks at the people who've been working from home through the pandemic. But it's a very good point. And I think, you know, those people that carried on, were forced to carry on absolutely all the way through the pandemic because obviously tube drivers can't work from home, shop workers in our supermarkets can't work from home, the posties can't work from home. All those people who absolutely had to tough it out, even during the worst days and weeks of the pandemic this January and last March and April. Hats off to them, really. And I hear what you say. I think they really do deserve our thanks and our gratitude for carrying on in jobs often involving facing the public day in, day out. I think shop workers in particular, supermarket workers, I think are some of the unsung heroes. But no, they weren't part of this study today, but maybe the ONS will look at their experience on another day.
We have much more on this story in the newspaper and at standard.co.uk. Follow the live blog for breaking news. That's The Leader. We're back at 4 p.m. on Tuesday.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets, featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has 2 limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea's sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code MOM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.